Episode 2, State of the RPG. We're here with Nick and Kyle, and I'm Paul. I don't think we introduced anyone in the first episode.
Totally forgot about that.
What episode is this?
Two.
Oh, okay.
So, you're basically here from the beginning.
All right.
You're an OG, you know.
That was the voice of Paul. Speaking now is the voice of Kyle, and soon will be the voice of Nick.
I speak when I want to.
Okay.
That sounded pretty prompted.
Yeah, that was scripted. He's a crisis actor.
It's like a linear, very linear RPG. Got prompted and you picked.
I always go off book.
I do. I feel a bit asleep. So yeah, we're talking RPGs again today. Some of the topics on board are FF15's coming out for PC in early 2018, which it is at the time of this recording. What else did you have lined up?
15th anniversary of Warcraft 3 patch out of nowhere. Thanks, Blizzard. 10 years later.
Coming back.
Chrono Trigger port for Steam. Sounds bad from what I've heard. Nick, what do you got to bring to the table? What RPG topics or games are you excited about?
Well, because the reason I was convinced to come over here, amongst other things, was that it was a Dark Souls night, which is always fun, and Dark Souls is coming to PS4 and Switch, the remastered.
Yeah, remastered.
That's going to be very fun, so playing it again is going to give me, like, you know, it's been years since I played it. Like, I need to know all the secrets again.
Mm-hmm. Is there also a new Dark Souls coming to PC?
There was something that got released at, like, the Video Game Awards. It was a From Software game, and a lot of people thought it was Bloodborne 2. But a lot of people are starting to think now, like, a lot more the From Software pros are thinking that's a game called Shadow Tower, like one of their original games.
It was like a teaser, as I understand it, at least it was like some shadows.
Shadows Die Twice, it said. It was maybe like a 20-second thing of just like a bloody bone and like a string, and then it became like taut as like someone was like tripping it. And so it sort of felt like Bloodborne, like it was like really like gruesome and like dark, and it was like, it seemed like in the street, so like, you know,
hopefully. Yeah, that's like pretty much that's like very the aesthetic of
Bloodborne. The setting. But I've never played Shadow Tower, so I don't know.
I have no idea what Shadow Tower is. No. But it was like a mid-90s.
But Bloodborne was so big, it would make sense for them to do a sequel, because it was just like, people say that's like a must play on PS4. Like, if you have PS4, like, that's like a top 10, like, you must play that.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never played it.
It's incredible.
Confession.
No, it's okay. But yeah, it's
anytime you want to borrow it.
It's outstanding. It's so good.
I just think it's amusing that From Software is like, now they're like back in the new, you know, people care about them now. They get like seated promptly, and I mean, they get like high billing at all these Video Game Award things. For a long time, their biggest shit was like Armored Core.
Really? Yeah, I remember, that's the same company.
Yeah, I remember being blown away too. I was like, we played Armored Core for a while. I watched Kyle play Armored Core. It's like, From Software games are like, you gotta have the rhythm of those games. And yeah. I just did not for Armored Core.
But they tried Armored Core for like, they did a 360 Armored Core.
Oh yeah, like Armored Core like 4.
Yeah, 4, Armored Core 4. It was called something stupid. It was like a pun.
Just Armored Core 4.
Yeah, it was Armored Core 4, but there was also like 4 Answer or something.
Armored 4 Core.
Yeah, it was on. I just remember being underwhelmed by the name.
Phantom Four Stick. And, you know the whole thing? Sorry, go ahead.
But anyway, the most recent Armored Core game, Sword Blue. Like, the one that I played was not
super. That was on 360,
fun.
Right?
Yeah. There's probably a more recent one that I don't even know about. But
I feel like that we would have heard about that, but who knows?
Yeah.
Was it MechWarrior on the original Xbox or 360 that was like one of the biggest disappointments?
I don't know.
There was
a
MechWarrior.
It was supposed to be a MechWarrior, and it turns out there was no customization or any aspect of the game that people liked. Any of the RPG aspects of the game. You just ran around in some canned, you know, whatever, pick one of five, and Mech Assault.
Anyway, can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be blinking when it was on.
No, we were kidding.
Oh, okay.
That's when it was muted and we thought it was great.
Okay, sorry, just checking.
The lost episode.
Because we got some gold right off the start here. I just want to make sure.
There were two live viewers that heard that episode, so the story goes.
What were you going to say, though, when I was talking about...
again, George. George knows everything. George is like, you know, the really bad Fantastic Four movie they made like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the logo got so much, like... Can we swear? Are we swearing? Like, it got so much, like, shit.
So much farts.
And,
so much fucking shit.
Because it was... You know, the movie was horrible, and the design of the logo, it, like, pretty much said, like, Fan Four Stick. Like, it was, like, the A was supposed to be the four, and it was, like Fanta Four Stick or something. That's how, like, people, like, started calling
it. Yeah, I remember that. It does look like
it. If you, like, look at it, and you know the actual name, you're just, like, it's hilarious. You're like, oh, my God. Like, this does suck.
brand testing revealed that that was a very popular logo. A lot of people recognized it for some reason.
People love laps over laps in titles. Everything overlapping itself.
Can't get enough. Can we use lens flares on that bad boy? Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of lens flares, you guys both played Final Fantasy 15, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lens flare 15? Yeah, I know.
Do you guys think... So they're going to release the PC version. Is that going to coincide with the DLC, or is that slated for 2019?
I would not be surprised if it coincides. I don't know.
I hope they do like a version where I don't have to pay $90. Yeah. I can just buy it. You know,
I feel like that's a pretty standard thing you could do. Just buy the DLC like separately, right?
So one of the interesting things they did in that game.
I just mean if they're going to re-release it on the computer. And then charge another $30 if you're a PlayStation owner that already has the game and you want to get the computer version because the graphics might be better.
Oh.
And now they come out with DLC. You've paid $90 for a game you already paid potentially $60 for. That's why I liked when, with Dark Souls, I'm pretty sure for at least one or two of the PC releases,
mm-hmm.
they included all the
DLCs. Yeah,
mm-hmm. because it lagged behind the PlayStation mm-hmm. release.
I would be really surprised if it doesn't include all the DLCs.
Yeah.
Because the DLC is such that it's like... nestled, it does not interrupt the like main flow of the game at all.
In
Dark Souls, at least.
Oh no, yeah, but
in Final Fantasy, like narratively speaking, I don't know where they're gonna put it.
Stuff it.
Yeah, but they left themselves like a fucking 10-year gap of the story in which to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. It could be that I didn't even think about that. I was gonna say because I know the ending. I'm not sure if it's gonna spoil it for anyone. Yeah.
But like it's kind of that's why I don't. The game's great until you start getting close to the end, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
like, that's stupid.
That's becoming a common theme in a lot of RPGs for me. Even mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild. Now that I'm towards the ending of it, it was just a grind to finish out the shrines. And
yeah,
stuff.
I couldn't even get through the grind so far. I probably put like 30 hours into that game, and I feel like I'm just like
barely scratching the surface.
Yeah, George. He was saying like you gotta put like your first like 50 hours or something. I mean not 50 hours, but I could be getting all the timing wrong.
That
but
doesn't sound implausible.
Just he's like the first like half of the game is like building up like you know like exploring the shrines and like building up your like arsenal and like getting the tools you need to like you know get these four like demons or whatever they are. I can't remember.
Yeah, but honestly, that's all options. You can beat the game from
like the get go.
Yeah,
I think I've seen like a video about
a couple
that.
Hours or something. Yeah. But the problem with the with the grind, I think in Final Fantasy 15, I'm guessing, and a lot of games, is you just don't need the items that you're grinding for. There's never a challenge that comes up where you're like, oh, thank God I ground out
mm-hmm.
this piece of equipment, because if you didn't, you'd still beat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if there's a skill aspect to the game, especially, where you're going to have to do some kind of timing or, you know.
I really think you could probably... There's maybe a couple parts that you need to be a certain level to get past, but... You could probably speedrun, not even speedrun, you could probably casually play FF15 and just skip all the superfluous things, get it done in like 12 hours, maybe. Probably 20 hours. If you don't pursue any of the side quests, if you just do story things, because that's the entire time drain is just like...
I feel like a lot of stuff I did get, like, didn't, yeah, like, what we're talking about, like, didn't, like, it was like, it was cool to have, it's like, yes, like, I got this, but like, it didn't seem to make like a noticeable difference.
Yeah,
my problem with a lot of games.
It's like I felt like I was stronger, but maybe it's because I just like wanted to feel like.
And there's optional bosses which you need items to beat, but you don't need to beat those bosses. That's the thing.
Well, I like that's fine if they're in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that your path to the end boss, the plot, the story. Like I always like the weapons and Final Fantasy games. Is that what they are? I mean, is it like Omega?
Yeah,
and Ruby and stuff.
There's like what they call it, the relics. Like Noctis gets like the old king's weapons.
I think so. Yeah,
it's been a while since I played it, but yeah, weapons.
But I feel like so Final Fantasy and JRPG games that didn't have a skill based portion, like timing hack and slash
mm-hmm.
part of them, they used to be really good. I guess really good at making you grind because you're straight up in Final Fantasy V or whatever. You're not going to beat the boss if you're not this level with this stuff. And now. They need to kind of leave it more open, especially in open world games where there's a bunch of side quests and optional rewards because you can't make this boss unbeatable for somebody that didn't do 20 side quests, but then do those side quests matter at all?
Right.
And then you start feeling upset because why did I spend 50 hours grinding out this stuff and I could have beat it regardless, you know?
Not to like change direction here too fast, but I want to say this before I forget. I had a lot of trouble with the summons in Final Fantasy 15. Yeah. I couldn't get them to work. Like, you can't, like, you know, like...
Bad AI.
Final Fantasy VII, great game, you know. You could just, yeah, you could, like, pick the summon if you wanted to. You could use it whenever.
Summons were changed from, like, an ability you have to more of a quick time event.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't know how to, like, you need to be, like, almost dying for it to, like, come to you. And it was, like, a life-saving sort of, like, a second chance thing. Because it wiped out, like, the cutscenes were, like, it, like... destroyed like a forest.
It's essentially like a god, like coming to give you a hand or something. So it's like can do whatever it wants to do.
I think maybe I did like two summons in the entire game.
But yeah, but there's just events that trigger them.
You gotta be in a fight and you've gotta be
you're like losing the fight.
I don't think it's... it can be maybe a couple boss fights you can summon in, but it's gotta be specific.
So in Final Fantasy VIII, there's something like that. So there's Gilgamesh, and he'll just randomly show up, just mm-hmm. random chance, and just kill whatever you're fighting. And he can even work on most of the bosses in the game. So if just you sat randomly, there, though? Yeah, if you just sat there and retried 1,000 times,
you might. For you.
And then there's Phoenix, I think, which has a chance to revive you.
That's a popular. So I know that was in Final Fantasy VII too. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, when they're talking about Final Fantasies, like your favorite is either like 7 or 8. That's most of my experience. Like Larry,
I don't like 10.
10 is really good, 10, too.
10's up there.
Like, Larry hates 7 and loves 8, and, like, I love 7, and I'm like, you know, 8's okay.
Yeah, I think Paul's sort of the same way, right?
Yeah. I love 8, and 7's just okay. I don't
wrong!
Hate 7. I think I ruined 7 for myself in a lot of ways because I played 8 first, so then even graphically,
that was one of the complaints. Younger.
Because 8 had some of the best-looking cutscenes I think that ever... really came out on the original MPS1.
See, I played 7 first, you know, logically, and, you know, the graphics, like, the special cutscenes for that, like, blew me away. I was just like, this is like watching a movie. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, going back now, it's like, I still like it just because I liked it so much as a kid, but, like, if you were looking at it from, like, an artistic point, not to be, like, a douche, but it's just like, oh, like, these angles. Like,
they were very limited.
Yeah.
But, at the time, that was, like, 97. That was, like...
Yeah.
Like, that could kill someone.
Lethal.
You could have a heart attack.
Badges on it?
It was a very sharp game.
One of the things that why it was so considered so good looking at F7 I'm talking about is because, like, it didn't use the graphics. It didn't use, like, the PS1 to create the graphics that would show you as far as the landscapes go. It would, like, just, you'd be walking on an image.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be an environment. You'd just be like, your character be walking around on an image.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was actually generated was their character itself, which was like a blocky dude.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's like
a couple points of interaction.
Cloud's exactly. Cloud's like arms were like square bicep line, you know, like his forearm was.
And they sort of when there's a couple like cutscenes where you see Cloud closer up, and his proportions are sort of preserved, and it's like. His bones, his skeleton is like disgusting. Like, how are you alive?
It's like, you know, like, no, like Japanese like game characters and designs like that. I remember.
No, they were doing mocap. It was really skinny Japanese.
This guy had to go to the hospital after every recording session.
The paintbrush handed man is a real sighting in the wild.
My skeleton can't do that.
I was so into Final Fantasy VII that I had like this like binder that I hole punched of like a character bio of like every character.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like bring that to school with me and just like, oh, time for a break. Let's see if I know Sephiroth's stats by heart. Like age, no one knows. Blood type, no one knows.
No, Nick, used to do the same thing with the real EverQuest strategy guide. My friend would just open a page and give a quiz question, and that's what we would do on, like...
It's like, it's weird, like, how good I am at studying for shit that, like, does not matter. Like, it doesn't matter. But I remember, like, thinking, because, like, Cloud's age, you know, he's blood type AB, he's age 21, you know, everyone knows this. Yeah.
But I was like, soldier at fucking 15.
Yeah, I was like, he's 21. Like, I can't believe this is what I'm gonna be doing when I'm 21. Like, that's exactly how I thought when I was like 8. I'm like, man, my life's gonna take a crazy turn. But if Cloud can do it, I can do it.
How am I gonna get my hair that spiky?
Yeah. I'm 21. I'm a grizzled veteran.
Yeah,
I've seen everything that life has to offer.
And then there was like Sid. Like everyone, knows, like Sid, there's always a Sid.
Yeah, he
was
Sid, the old man, 36.
32. Barrett was 35. You idiot.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, come on, old man. It's like 32, like old man.
And he's like been out of the pilot program for 15 years too.
Everything.
Yeah.
He's like married and has his whole like career ruined by the time he's like 22.
They burn out quick.
Yeah, he's like about to be the first one to like what's the science and like history of that game is like no one's been into space yet.
Right. Yeah.
Because like you know, Sid was supposed
to burning, digging up souls and toss them into the fire.
I guess, I mean, when your like whole planet's made of like Mako and like the life stream and shit like that, I guess.
Life stream.
Yeah, you don't really need the science. It's like, you know, or like space. It's like, who cares what's up there? Like, everything we need is down here. Like, we can fight with a lightning bolt. Like, who cares what's happening in space?
Good point.
But I guess they had to learn eventually. They were like, all right.
I'm always disappointed, though, in Final Fantasy games. Like, whenever they see, at least in the really old ones, whenever they seem to harness magic for some useful thing, like a power plant or a ship that's like something, like five, that's the whole theme, is that I think technology is basically evil, like the four crystals being used for, one is used for a steamship, one's used to like power a city.
Who's the main character of five? Is it Bart? Is that
Bart's?
Bart's? Or?
Is it Bart? Yeah, Bart's.
I know six pretty well.
Six was really fun. I like played that like, when I was pretty much like at Wayne, like at college, it was really fun. I played on my Vita like everywhere I went. Instead of my Final Fantasy VII binder, I had my Vita.
I'm just as cool. Yeah. Because I wasn't 8 years old, but like the.
But some things are so simple, but to have access to like powerful magic and an understanding of the like cosmos and what created the Earth and shit, you know, it's kind
of. It's just a reflection of Japanese culture in some way, of like, it's a super valuing the tradition.
Yeah.
To some extent.
We have our like Marvel movie nights every Sunday. This is like it'll sort of tie in if you give me a second.
Hurry up!
Oh god! And we were watching Thor 2 on Sunday. Horrible movie. And they were in this like one place. There was like some sort of like observatory. And I was talking to Murphy, who's he played it for seven. I was like, doesn't this place look exactly like Bugenhagen's like observatory, where you like can like, you know, there's like an elevator, and it looked a lot like it.
Really?
Yeah. But it wasn't nearly as cool. There was no like, you know, material.
A floating old man with like,
with no arms or legs. Yeah. Maybe they were supposed to be like under his robe, but like, yeah, he was essentially like a skin colored like turd like floating around like
a ghost.
Yeah, this guy could go wherever. Like, he'd fly, and he never.
And he was also like the grandpa of like a tiger. Like, I'm not sure how.
Well, he's adopted grandpa.
Yeah.
Red 13. Tiger.
That was his grandfather?
I guess a dot. Yeah, I mean.
He didn't birth him himself.
No. Well, who knows? I mean, he's a weird dude. He flies around and has no arms or legs.
There's no explanation given to why this guy can fly.
It's just, you know, that's him. No one was even, like, amazed by
when
it either.
You get to be my age.
43.
I'm turning 50 soon.
He was, like, incredibly old. Yeah. It was, like, the oldest person was, like, 35. Then he was, like, 500. Yeah. There was, like, no middle ground.
Yeah. It goes from 0 to 60 right away after you hit 30. But, yeah, as far as 15 goes.
Oh, right, 15.
we were off to the great 8-7 debate. And
yeah, yeah.
At least we went down. We went down, like, properly. It was, like, 8-7. 5-6, whatever.
Well, 10 was. I really liked 10.
10 was.
I think because 9 sucked.
Yeah, I saw a bit of 9 and was not drawn into it at all. I never even played 10. I watched you play 10.
10 was really good. There was like even the things like, you know, like I never thought I'd like battle music again, like I would in FF7.
Yeah.
Like that's like that could be my ringtone today, and I'd still like I wouldn't get sick of it. But if FF10 had like some really good music, the fights were cool. You really did feel like you had an advantage if you went out of your way to like get something. Like a, you know, like a new weapon. It's like, yeah, like, you know. And so that's what was cool. It was like, really went back to like,
I disagree a little. Like, I felt I got most of the final weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who I didn't get, but the last boss was really disappointing. I don't know. Zero trouble with
like
it.
Jet? You mean like the actual, like the final boss
Seymour?
Of the game?
Was it Seymour?
Oh, Seymour is like, he's a pretty hard boss.
Is Jet the final? Like, whatever the final boss is.
Sin. Like,
yeah,
Sin? Like, well, that is Jack, though, right? That's such an annoying name. I hate it.
I don't even remember the sequence of it now.
I remember, well, Seymour, you had to fight Seymour pretty early, but you had to, like, fight him a couple times. He was essentially kind of like, you know, Hojo.
That's what I thought. Isn't the final battle, like, a rehash of a fight, an earlier fight with Seymour? It's been so long. Sounding stupid, but I remember just double casting Ultima with Lulu.
You do fight Seymour multiple times, and there probably is a, like, he does, like, the same stuff, but he's, like, got, like, his moves are, like, modified. It's, like, they, like, you know, they sort of, like, screw you over, have, like, a status effect, like,
yeah,
a little
one,
more.
Yeah, one is a really bad phase, right?
There was an interesting status that, like, I've never, like, seen in another Final Fantasy game, but maybe I just haven't played enough of them, was, like, Zombie.
That's in there.
In 10.
I think that's in previous ones too. It might be in like 4 even.
I never played 4. I hear it's great though.
Reverses healing.
I'm not sure. I can't remember what it did. It just sucked.
I think it reverses the effect of healing.
Yeah, and you had to like have like probably a
poison or
what's like a remedy. Probably like a remedy. Remedy would like that's like you know.
Oh yeah, get rid of.
That's like the cures status. All status. Yeah. Yeah, but I remember he did it like so much. I remember this was. There's one time you fight Seymour that was really, really hard, and it could be the one you're talking about.
I think he just throws, like, every status effect on you or something, or it's a random chance, but...
Yeah, he could be one of the last bosses you fight, but then there's, like, you fight all these parts of a sin, which is Titus's dad.
Yeah.
Like, a big, like...
Spoiler alert, sorry, guys.
I mean... Which is a big, like, hurricane slash testicle. Like, I'm not sure, like, what he is.
This part is disgusting!
Run! Don't touch you!
I'll give credit to FF10 for making the tasks to get a lot of the endgame stuff interesting. I don't know. I think 7 had some pretty unique kind of stuff.
Yeah, 7 had... one of them you had to, like, to get Tifa's.
Oh, I don't think... I mean, I could get Tifa's now, but, like, I've never just, like... Well, I mean, I could get because of the internet and shit, but, like, even with the guidebook, I'm just like, what? Like, you had to, like, play an actual song. Yeah. Like, you had to, like, know how to play the piano, like... But also know how to like play it on like the PlayStation controller.
Yeah, she just would play like the what is it? It's some song in the game. It's like her theme in the game. Go into her room and play that song on the piano and like that type.
At a certain in like Tifa's like memory, it's like you like can't even do
you
it.
Have
like
one chance to do it, and then sometimes like you have to like in like the sewer. One of the sewers when you're like parachuting into Midgar, you can get Barret's final weapon, but that's the only time you'll ever be in the zone in the
you
game.
Really, it's sort of like, it's easy to get, but it's sort of just like, something like that encourages like exploration, like, you know, don't be afraid to like, but sometimes, well, I guess, you know, you could play the game. I was going to say, I would like miss entrances sometime, but I've played it like so many times now that I'm like, oh, like, you know.
That's part of the problem about FF7's like graphical style is just, you know, you're running across and it's just an image.
But I was going to say, like, if you like press like select or something like that, it would like, it would point to you and like all the, like, if you played like that, then it wouldn't be a problem. But I mean,
I don't think I knew that.
So
was that computer only?
No, I think.
No, because you could.
It was on PS1. We would do it on PS1.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And PS2, I guess, because I mean.
Yeah. If you hit select, like, pro tip, guys, if you're playing FF7 out there, looking for the door, hit select, you'll see which things are accessible.
I remember being disappointed in FF7's graphics just because I had a hard time finding the entrance. I just got frustrated a few times. Yeah. And it was probably before PlayStation 2 came. It wasn't like I'm spoiled today going back. You know what I mean? It was, like, some games I feel like their graphics have held up a lot better.
Mm-hmm. FF7's like you have to like, I think you just have to like it from when you were like a kid to like it now.
Yeah.
I tried to get some of my friends to like play when there was like a big Final Fantasy sale and they were just like, they were like pursued it. I was like, you make me sick. You know, get out of my sight.
FF15.
Good graphics, very good graphics.
Yeah. So the funniest thing about FF15 to me is like the reward for like, beating the game, you can sort of continue after you, without giving too much away, you can sort of continue after you beat the game in, like, memories of the past. And your big reward is, like, you're driving this car the whole game. You're, like, it's just four friends hanging out in a car, like, posing for pictures a lot.
Yeah, because you're, you know, you're not on, like, a serious mission of, like, you know, politics. Like, the king was murdered, and you're just, like, sell.
Let's post it, let's go camping. Cook some, whatever I just killed over there. You got this fucking car, and like you beat the game, and then you get the car can turn into like a jet.
Essentially, it becomes like the High Wind. There's like a High Wind in like every.
Yeah.
Is that what your car is called? Like the High Wind?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, but actually, sure it's called like the Royal
High Wind. And no, Sid is your mechanic.
Sid is the mechanic.
Yeah. Shit writes itself,
and
guys.
Like, Sid's like granddaughter / prostitute assistant is like the one you like that to like talk to all the time.
She
you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if you saw
Yuffie.
Like,
no,
she is wearing way too few clothes to be a mechanic. Like, that's her job.
Just
like, anyway, you get this fucking car at the end. Like Sid's like, hey, Noctis, I put wings on the car for you. And this, it's unusable. Like, you cannot use this, like, you cannot use the flight function.
I didn't see, I mean, I've seen, like, videos of people using it, but I remember I was with you on...
You've got to, like, take off, like, a real plane. You need, like, miles of straight road. Like, if you touch anything. Like, the first time I used it, I was, like, on the phone with you.
I was listening on headset. I was, like, playing...
I just cracked the fuck up. Because, like, take off, it's just, like... As soon as you touch anything, it's like a real plane crash. Like, every year, you're going out of control, everyone dies. As soon as you fuck up a little bit, in your plane car, everyone's dead. There's no reason. It's such a huge risk. It's not faster than driving. All you're going to do is, like, explode. Everyone's just going to die if you try to take off in this car.
Remember how cool it was that, like, you could listen to other Final Fantasy games on the radio?
Yeah, your radio is like
Final Fantasy 7 radio all year round. That's what I listen to.
Yeah, I do, like, 4 in
the... I would listen to some good ones. There was, like, you know, every game's got some good ones.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't remember them, but they got some good ones.
The Man with the Machine Gun is a pretty good one. FF8.
You know, Black Mages.
I think it was a good one. I think it was like the final really fight cool music when you fight like Kefka in 6, where it's like real like...
They should have a Black Mages station.
I don't know. I can't remember, but it was good though. It's a good one. I think they got the dance from Final Fantasy 8 with Squall and Rinoa.
Yeah.
Rhino?
Beginning and...
Rhino, that's it.
Rinoa. I like Rinoa.
I like Rhino.
Rhino!
But, And let's not forget the product placement. All your Coleman camping gear.
Whenever. Oh, yeah. Cup Noodles is, like, the biggest sponsor of FF15. There's, like... alright, so one of the minigames is this character, Ignis, is, like, a chef. So, like, his minigame is cooking. And, you need to, like, get... I drove across the fucking...
Oh, it was so much fun. It was, like, a lot of fun getting, like, new, like, ingredients and recipes and stuff like that.
Get ingredients for him, and some of them are, like, cup noodles. Like, gotta go... And so he would, like, spice up
shrimp flavor.
Yeah.
Like, you would get special shrimp and, like, increase the meat content of your cup noodles.
I mean, there was, like, special quests you had to do for, like, was it Gladios? Is that his name? Like, where he loved, like, cup of noodles. And, like, your, like, mission for him was just, like, finding a better cup of noodles. Like, the one he was, like, used to.
Yeah.
And it was like, you did it like twice.
Oh,
he was,
God, just this cup noodles.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
But I remember, it's being like Ignis in the cutscenes with him like cooking. They were always like pretty funny whenever you made the cup of noodles, because he'd be like pacing back and forth and be like, I've got an idea. And it's like cup of noodles like slides out for like everyone to eat. It's like, thanks, man. Really appreciate you making dinner tonight.
Yeah. Ignis is like supposed to be this culinary genius who like comes up with the recipe. It's like, I'll just make cup noodles. It's so simple.
He's also like, also like 22 supposedly, but he's like clearly
he's the oldest guy.
He's like 48. Like,
he has the demeanor. He's like,
And he goes blind all of a sudden. Like they never even show like what happened. I mean, it's implied.
No, you see it.
I don't remember seeing it. I must have looked away for a second. Well, I mean, you're getting like that.
He went to make a cup of noodles.
God, I'm so hungry. But
if only I followed the cup noodles instructions as the corporation specified in the game.
I must have missed it. I remember like the fight when it happens is where like Noctis meets his like, I don't know, are we spoiling anything? I mean, I feel like we kind of are.
Go. We don't give away how it all the way ends. We're talking about.
It's when he goes to meet his like girlfriend or whatever like that, and like that's when like the whole like big like attack happens or something like that, and that fight was weird. I couldn't get these big fights to end like that.
Do you fight?
Hearing you guys talk about it sounds like a lot like FF8.
Yeah,
really?
There's like a politics thing. There's a princess.
So even the whole driving in a car together after royalty being murdered.
Yeah. Like I think I should give FF8 another shot. Like I should like get on my Vita or something like that. Cause I'm sure I would like it. I was just going from like 7 to 8 was like really weird for me. Where I was like, I expected like materia to still be a thing, but like the drawing system that really threw me off. I didn't like the fact that I had like limited magic, but
it does sort of make comment a little grindier sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I like to grind, so.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you're not casting spells though after, I don't know, 10 hours, 20 hours into that game. The only way you use magic after a point is to junction it to your stats.
Yeah, which I remember doing.
And you'd almost rather not cast a spell because then, because you're going to hurt your stats. So junctioning 100 of fire to your attack is better than 50 fire.
Hmm. Okay, and that's how I guess I didn't know that was like a feature. I mean, I didn't comprehend.
A lot of people didn't get that. I don't know how if they didn't make it clear enough in the game how the junctioning and stuff worked, but I know I had a couple friends.
Maybe I didn't go into like the right mindset, and I was just like, "Well, I play the game, like skip."
You don't
like,
learn about junctioning until you're sort of like the tutorials sort of stretch out after you don't know about junctioning in the first couple of missions at all. They don't have a tutorial for it in the first couple of missions.
I like the limit break system a lot. And how there's a spell.
In 8?
Yeah.
I remember, like, being really frustrated with it in 8. Like, I don't think I ever actually got one off. Like, I couldn't... I mean, it had to do with, like L1 and R1 or something like that, right? I,
each,
like, didn't
each
get
character
it.
Character had different, like, QT... cutscene.
I didn't get it. I really wanted to use like Squalls because he had like the gun blade. The gun blade was like stupid cool.
Yeah, and then oh man, the upgrades for it are so cool because you upgrade his limit break as you get additional.
Wow, I mean, that's upgrade. You know, that's like a great thing about RPGs. It's like upgrading your character's stats and like seeing like what are you gonna unlock, and same with like well.
That is the thing about Final Fantasy VIII is that leveling up has a very small effect in that game
really?
Compared to everything else. Yeah, because of the stat junctioning,
mm-hmm.
you can have characters that would be super low level if you wanted to, and if you junctioned them with everything, they would be very similar to a higher level character. But you're going to... In the process of acquiring that magic, you're going to level up anyway, so...
There was, like, that whole thing in FF7 where it said, like, technically Sephiroth is easier if you're, like, a lower level.
Exactly. Yeah, this is sort of an example of, like...
He scales.
Kind of, yeah. He only has two levels of scaling, but it's, So if you fight him when you're below level 50, he's, like, at level 50, but if you're level 51, he's 80. So, like, as soon as you go past the line...
Oh, I didn't know that,
but... Yeah. Those are maybe not the exact numbers, but that's how it cuts out. That's like how it works.
Imagine if Elder Scrolls was like that.
That's
how it does its scaling.
That's why I hated Oblivion. Its scaling was like...
I loved Oblivion. I remember that that really irked you at the time, though. Yeah. And apparently still today.
Fuck Oblivion!
I liked Oblivion, but God, I hated the Oblivion... portals or
I mean it's like they were like cool at first when you could like go in, but then they sort of became like a chore. It's like there was nothing really like good to go in except I guess you got like a good soul gem for like closing.
Yeah, that was the only real way to you could enchant shit with soul gems too, but that was like the only way for a fighter or non-magic character to like enchant stuff or make up.
But yeah, they stuff. It's like it was cool. I like the idea, but it was just they were huge and it was like a big you'd like your entire your entire like gaming session for that day like could have been like just like making your way through this thing and like you know. Yeah.
I didn't like it too because I've always played an archer and they do that paralysis thing where you get knocked down and if you're a light. It's so hard to have enough healing and stuff to get through it if you don't go straight combat in that game.
Yeah, I usually
there's a difficulty slider in that one, right? So I don't know.
Once I started Skyrim, I went to like archers and it was so much fun.
Yeah,
it was great.
Skyrim, the archery system in Skyrim is fantastic.
Yeah,
Skyrim's just a good game.
Mm-hmm. I went to Jack of All Trades in Skyrim. I was just trying to do like summoner army, and
the magic
let you have multiple certain pets, so it doesn't end up working that well.
It ends up like the top tier ability in Skyrim is to have two of one thing, so like two corpses, two Atronax, or two something.
You can do one more though. Is it the rogue something for the Guild of Thieves or Guild of Assassin?
Dark Brotherhood. Or you can have
Dark Brotherhood summon.
You can have Lucian the Chance as like a...
like a spirit, like a sort of like a ghost that you could like conjure up.
Ability. You can do that once
a day. He stacks with...
He probably does, because it's a daily ability instead of a spell.
Yeah, and then I liked using the horse from the Dark Brotherhood,
too. Oh,
yeah. Shadowmere.
Yeah, and just that... you could do a little bit
army-wise. Murphy always gets his horse taken away. Like, the game, like, takes away his horse, because he just, like... He, like, abuses it. He, like, runs off mountains with it. Because, like, it won't die.
Yeah, well, some of the things about it is it's, like, a glitchy thing.
Yeah, the game doesn't, like, take it away, but he, like, pushes it to the limit. So, like, eventually it will glitch away and just, like, won't ever come back.
Yeah.
He's like, game is stupid.
Has there been anything announced for a new Elder Scrolls?
There's been some, like, fan work of, like, a Valenwood, of, like, a really, viney, like, Elder Scroll symbol. It was, like, a... No, or... What's, like, the Skyrim symbol? Is that, like, the dragon thing?
That's just the Imperials.
Okay, I just associate that with Skyrim for some reason.
Yeah,
but it was, like, all, like grass and, like, twigs and vines, like, covering, like, that. So it looked pretty cool, but it was just fan-based. But hopefully, maybe they listen, because that'd be a cool one.
I do not know what's going on with Elder Scrolls Online, but I know that's still happening. So maybe they're... And I have no interest in that at all, really.
Hmm.
Have you played Elder Scrolls Online?
No, I was tempted to do it for a while, but I just like never like did it.
Yeah,
I had a sinking feeling that it wasn't a very good game. I don't know what it probably read something and became biased. It's hard to get into MMOs these days. Mm-hmm. Like I guess this is kind of related to Final Fantasy 15. Did you guys play 14?
No,
that was like the
MMO.
Okay, yeah.
Supposedly they've done things. I think. In the past 6 months that have given the game a huge resurgence, which is kind of really rare in almost any MMO. You know, once you lose that huge initial player base, you're not going to grow to, and I think they're WoW is still, like, World of Warcraft is still far and away the most popular MMO, as far as I know, but I think they've become number two, at least recently.
Destiny was really big for, like, 3 years, from, like, 2014 to, like, 2016, but then Destiny 2 came out, and it just, like, it just didn't, like, hit. It is, like, sucks. I'm sure there's still some people that play, but it's just, I don't care about it.
Yeah.
I love Destiny 1, and I could not get into Destiny 2. I probably played it for, like, maybe a month.
Yeah, see, I think that MMOs need to be subscription-based again, and because you need to keep a really active player base, and you need a game developer that's gonna respond to issues that come up in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you just release a game for $60 and that's all that, you know, you're gonna get out of your player base, maybe a $30 DLC, they do these equations to figure out, well, how much development support should we give to the game, and if it's not enough, you got a turd of a game, and even if they bring it back, it's too little too late, you know, people aren't going to go back and try this game anymore.
Some of the complaints that I haven't played Destiny 2, but some of the complaints I've been reading is that they're, like, really overbalancing everything, so there's, like, the PvP is, like, it doesn't matter at all what you, it's like, so in the old Destiny, sort of, you could go, you know, get special weapons and stuff, do quests for things, and then you'll have an advantage in PvP, a slight advantage.
Which, I mean, it makes sense, like, you know, if you do the work, you should, you know, have...
Yeah, so it's that's sort of removed in Destiny 2, it's like, every, no matter, you can do anything, and there's no incentive to do this extra, like, you know, adventuring, you'll explore the extra content for PvP, because it doesn't give you an advantage anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the weird things was, at least I remember, like, this, was you couldn't, like, pick your, like, Crucible matches. You just pick, like, a Crucible style, and it would throw you into, like, Team Deathmatch, like, Rumble, or, like, Capture the Flag. Yeah. It was kind of, like, you couldn't, like, pick ones. Like,
In Destiny 1 or 2?
2.
Oh.
Just, it threw you into something random.
Probably to speed up
matchmaking. I guess. Yeah. But then they also made it 4-on-4 instead of 6-on-6. It is, like, they really changed it, and there was no more heavy ammo, it was, like, special ammo. And, there's just, like, some weird things that were, like, okay... The story was a little better, but, you know, no one really cared about the story anyway.
Yeah.
They complained about it, so I guess they put some work into it, but...
They had a weird... I don't know why they did it this way, but the way they did their story was they sort of tried to do it like Dark Souls in the sense that it's, like, item... You, like, read the descriptions of items, everything you collect is a smaller piece of the puzzle.
In Destiny 2?
In Destiny 1, I'm talking about. But it was grimoire cards, so, like, you couldn't access them in the game.
Oh, yeah,
So if you find this item... you, like, get a little bit of it in your game, but then you're supposed to go to Bungie.com.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, why can't I just do it in the game? Like, I'm not going to, like, put down my game and go do this. Like, it's a pain in the ass to read anyway in the game.
Why?
I don't know.
It's for, like, more lore of the game, sort of. Like, some of the stuff in Destiny was, like, really interesting.
Yeah, it was cool when you...
But what do they save by...
I have no idea.
...putting that text off?
They just wanted
Maybe it was, like, money for the website somehow. Maybe
they wanted,
like,
to encourage you to go to the site and do something there. I don't know why.
I could have been from, like, profit somehow. Like, users. So many people going to this site. I guess. Maybe it is that.
It'd be weird that, like, I wouldn't think that Bungie.com would even have ads on it, though.
They wanted to, like,
probably like a corporate
player base or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if you get people to engage on one of your other platforms, make a username and a login, maybe you get their email address, and now you can push them shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Yeah. What, did you guys play Fractured Butthole, the South Park game?
It was. Did you play it?
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
I didn't finish it. One thing I didn't like, though, that kind of reminds me of what you're talking about with the Destiny items, is did you notice that, like, all the named items you get in the game, basically the lore of South Park, so Mr. Hanky's hat or something, you know, how they have all the little knickknacks and stuff?
Yeah.
As soon as you pick it up, it just becomes one of... 7 or 5 generic categories.
I think I know what you're talking about. I remember
it's
being...
a crafting... Like, they're all used for crafting.
Yeah.
But as soon as you pick it up, you can't even see the name of it anymore. It just becomes a medical tool or...
Oh, I know what you're... Yeah.
So there's only an Easter egg the moment you find it.
Yeah, it's like if you picked up, like, a used, like, napkin, it would go into, like, medical supplies or something like that. And then you could, like, you couldn't really, like, look at it again.
No, it just becomes generic.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure in the first South Park game, items... Not only did you keep them, but they even had a little description.
Yeah, and you could... I'm sure you could still sell them in Fractured Butthole... But I remember...
No, you can, but I'm saying, but you can't even go to your inventory and see the little funny one-liner description they put on the item. And it's not a big deal, but to me, it made it feel really cheap because you're going around and collecting.
Yeah, why am I getting this if I can't?
Yeah, it's like, well, your first playing, I'm like, oh, ha, I remember that from the game. Oh, ha, I remember that from the game. And then you go to your inventory, it's like, wow, they literally could just, all they need to do is come up with 200 references from South Park and then randomly scattershot these items into the game world, you know, with very, it just seemed very kind of cheap.
There was, I remember the first game, I think a lot of people agree, was like a lot funnier. It was, like just like the descriptions and stuff like that and all like the references you had to go through.
And the second game is a pretty big copy of the first game. And
I thought,
the,
I liked
the Overland or the Overworld map and movement. It's all the same city.
Yeah, yeah. So the mechanics were like still the same, except for the fighting was, you know, the whole grid system, which I think people like were a little upset with it, but I liked that.
I did too.
Because the first game,
it was a little clunky.
Yeah, it was, but it made it like, kind of harder too in a way. You were just like, oh, like damn it, like you know, you can't like move this way. Like your attack like won't range like that or something like that. Or sometimes you just have to like, you know, sacrifice a turn to like just, you know, move.
In general, I think adding some kind of grit or movement to a turn-based RPG, you gotta do
yeah,
it, right?
Exactly.
I
mean, and the first game was just sort of like, you know, like tap, tap, tap. Just like do all your moves. And
standard turn-based.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, tap, tap, tap. That's what it's called. Okay. The three T's.
Well, Kyle and I were talking about this last time, too, and I think it's kind of, do you think it's nostalgia when you look back, you know, when you're saying how much you like Final Fantasy VII, and then when you recommend it to your friends, they don't like it now, when they go back and play it, but is it because that was the first game where you had that RPG gameplay, so at the time when you played Final Fantasy VII, that was the first time you pressed the attack button and saw numbers and had this idea of my characters getting stronger and these numbers get higher. And
it could be that. It could be like that special like feeling that's just like, you know, generic to them now.
Right, because like, they've played whatever their first RPG.
I read something that was like, it was like really deep about like Pokemon Red and Blue. It's just like, think about like, you'll never experience like a game like that probably like ever again. It's like, just like remember that first feeling where you like
discovery and
where you could like leave Pallet Town and like run into like all these like, you know, random things and like train, and it was like, that was crazy,
which is also reflective of just like internet culture beyond the game itself. So you have the game, you also have access to every secret that the game has before you play or discover yourself, which is, you know, it's good and bad.
I think it's killed a lot of that, but again, it's hard to separate nostalgia or that first time feeling, because for me, like when you Pokemon's a great example, and I think for me it's EverQuest 2, and then outside of RPGs, probably Super Mario 64, going from that like 2D platforming to, holy shit, Mario can go anywhere, and it's so fun to just jump around.
I remember, I didn't even actually even play Mario 64. I mean, I did, like I have now, but like when it first came out, all I did was just like perfect like the three jump, and I was like, this is so cool.
Well, and from what I've heard, that's kind of Nintendo's go-to, so even for Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey recently, they spent, was it, you tell me this, Kyle? Just huge amounts of times in basically a white, flat world, just moving the character around and feeling good about the animation, you know.
I didn't tell you that, but it makes sense.
To make the movement really, you know, tight and fun. Yeah. I think Grand Theft Auto's, it's clunky, but the physics allow for it to do that. Like, I'd like to see Rockstar do an RPG, like a real RPG, not... They went the total opposite direction with GTA. You used to kind of have an idea of developing your character through working out, and it was kind of bad, but...
That was, like, you know, shades of RPG, definitely. That's how,
your weapon skills would
San Andreas was, yeah. San Andreas had
that was the height of the RPG elements, I think.
Then they got rid of it at,
4.
Vice City. I think Vice City was gone already, then 4 was probably gone.
Vice City was before San Andreas.
San Andreas, okay.
Yeah, it was Liberty City. the first one was just called Grand Theft Auto 3, but Liberty City is what they call it.
And then they came out with Liberty City Stories on like PSP or something.
Oh, that was PSP.
Yeah,
I never played that one. But anyway, I'd like to see. I think that's what you're gonna see out of the top kind of RPGs and games this year, is really tight movement controls, physics, fun kind of game. From what it sounds like you were saying, FF5 sounds like it's a bit clunky to move around.
FF15?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Final Fantasy 15.
It's smooth. It looks... is really...
It's hard. It takes a bit to get the
fighting
down.
There's no platforming element to the moving around in the world, though, right?
Not really. There's, like, 3D puzzles you have to navigate. You just climb on. You can pretty much climb on top of anything. You can only. You have a lot of freedom to move in combat. Outside of combat for exploration, not as much.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part of Noctis is like the character. The main character, his name is Noctis. His thing.
He can teleport.
Yeah, he can. He throws his sword and he teleports to his sword.
And then you get like
teleports.
And then you got like a sort of like a bonus like damage attack.
Yeah, the further, the longer distance you travel to get to it, like the more. Stank you got when you get
right.
there.
Yeah.
And you can, like, kill the guy harder.
Yeah.
Here it comes!
Let's mustard on this one.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Like, just...
It took a while to get used to, though. It's like, there's, like...
The combat system is fun when you get a hang of it. Mm-hmm. Like, actually fighting anything is enjoyable in FF15.
And so, you have to compare that to going back and playing Final Fantasy VII now. Yeah. You know, I mean, what is...
The combat there is, it's just...
Stiff, kind of like, yeah, like point and click, like, yes, yeah. This is an efficient move.
Yeah, and so, you know, Chrono Trigger gets re-released for the third time or whatever, and why does anybody care? You know, I don't think it's going to hook the younger generation that's played probably mobile cell phone games that have a deeper...
It's
turn-based
like,
combat system, just because there's no grid, there's nothing in Chrono Trigger other than combining what
not
characters.
To sound like, you know, like a pretentious person, or like, you know, in Final Fantasy I'm very old, you know, I'm 26, that's very old, I'm so wise, but like, it is like you're pretty much like saying, like, they just like don't like appreciate it, sort of, you know?
Well, it's also because they've seen it refined further,
yeah,
so they've like, you know, the same art form that we were introduced to when it was more infantile is now, like, more mature.
Yeah.
So it's, like, arguably a better product now than what we were playing when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, and it's interesting, too, because there's certain elements to RPGs that stand out in than other games, and depending on what genre is doing it better, you might gravitate towards that. So, you know, when I'm stuck in Dota or whatever, League of Legends, let's say, I think at the time that I kind of switched those games, the combat and the movement elements in RPGs, it kind of stagnated, and so I'd rather play a game where I can still get that progression fixed, but I'm not going to sit there and just hit attack, you know what I mean? That's, and likewise, Destiny kind of came into that MMO space for a second because people were sick of targeting and hitting one on their keyboard, like World of Warcraft. But I think you also see a big, like, there's Planetside, that was another shooting MMORPG from the past.
Yeah,
people really liked that one, but none of them have sustained, right? I mean, even Destiny is seeing pretty big fluxes. And,
yeah, I'd say it's faded away pretty solid.
Yeah,
I mean, there's games like Borderlands, but it seems like people prefer more of the first-person shooter elements. I mean, Call of Duty, the most, whatever, popular game, you know, it uses some aspect of RPG, but it really...
I haven't played a Call of Duty since Black Ops.
I can't really even talk about the game, but I fucking hate that shit. I remember
liking them, but it's just, you know, I played 2 and I was like, okay. Like,
yeah.
It sure is...
Overwatch is better.
Oh yeah, I haven't
the same flavor.
I haven't played that a lot. People seem to love it though.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's the thing about Overwatch is, like, we were just talking about how important movement and shit is in games. Unlike Call of Duty, there's characters in Overwatch where you can double jump, or you have a jetpack, or you have a grappling hook, or you. So the movement is a big part of that game. Kind of why even, you know, I really liked arena shooter games like Quake and Unreal, because you moved around a whole lot faster than in like Halo and Call of Duty, where your movement is almost just taken out of the game. It's just about kind of camping and shooting, you know, aiming. There's no defensive element to the movement. You're not going to juke somebody very effectively because you're so slow from side to side. Like,
mm-hmm.
And they're fun for what they are, but...
Mm-hmm. You know, all this talk of this, sort of, I just want to bring it up to... Do you remember Shadowrun?
Yeah. Shadowrun was a... We're talking about
the one
360
that,
Shadowrun.
Yeah, when they rebooted it, remade it, I guess. Like a...
It was a shit... They went about it the wrong way.
And then
it was
we played it for about a week.
Yeah.
That was,
it was fun for...
A week?
A week, yeah.
There were some real imbalances in it, right?
Exactly.
Like, I remember just playing it a couple times multiplayer, and what I think the multiplayer was
only multiplayer.
Shaky, like the connections and stuff.
Oh, but that's possibly true as well.
Or
I don't remember having any problems with that.
So they just didn't have enough options. It was like the engine was fun, which was a shame because it had some potential. They did have like motion movement was like an aspect that you could somewhat customize for your you could have like a glider or something.
I think like there was like what were the classes? It was like a human.
It was like human, elf, dwarf, troll. And then you could also have magic if you wanted, or not magic, or technology, or not technology if you wanted. And some of the technology would affect your movement. Some of the magic would affect your movement. But there was not enough. There was only like two. What it ended up being
tech trees to two skill
trees. Yeah, there just wasn't enough there. It was like a multiplayer only game, and the stuff that was there was fun. But then when once you played that,
you couldn't really upgrade it or anything. It was just like those are the options you had.
You could sort of, well,
I haven't played it since I was like 14.
So
like
the newer example would be Battlefront or whatever.
Yeah,
Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh yeah,
it plays fine, but there's not enough to keep you
exactly.
What do they say? It's just like a Call of Duty like with Star Wars skin, like right? Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's gonna be fun for a second, mm-hmm. and then you're gonna see the maps and the characters, and you're gonna say, okay,
so, yeah, that's fun.
That's all that it had. So it was good while it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
There's no staying power.
Just rented.
Whereas the old Battlefronts, like Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2, PS2, I believe,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
were really fun, and I'm...
They're still pretty highly acclaimed.
Yeah.
Weren't they, like, gonna remake that? Sorry. Weren't they gonna actually, like port Battlefront 2, like the PS2 one, to, like, PS4? I thought I heard some about that at one point, but...
But I'm trying to think, what was the big difference, you know? Like, they had a single-player campaign...
It could even go back to what we were talking about before, this novel.
Yeah,
the first people have already played.
Maybe,
the big battle Star Wars game. I think people cite number of maps. I think Battlefront 2 had more maps, or balance of the maps.
It was third person, too. It wasn't like a first person shooter.
It could,
yeah, and maybe it just seemed too like generic now. It's like, you know, we already got like Battlefield, Call of Duty, and you know, we played Borderlands and Destiny. You know, I did a bunch of first person shooters.
I feel like.
Well, and what did it add control wise? Or I'm sure you got a sprint button, you got a crouch button, you got a. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
I also feel like the older Battlefronts had much larger. Many more people on, like, many more players on a battlefield at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was AI, but it was like, you had the sense of a big, big fight.
Yeah.
More so than now.
Mm-hmm.
Video games aren't I think they're getting better, but maybe they were in a dip for a little bit between graphical quality and how many objects you're going to display on the screen at once. So, because, like, the scale of things. I would have expected. Remember when you're playing like Final Fantasy and you go into a town and there's two houses there and you're like, oh yeah, what a city this. Like, what goes on here where there's a bar, a residential house, and a shop? You know, like what? And really, video games haven't really gotten that much more massive. Maybe 20 to 10 years ago, there's a big difference. 5 years ago to now, I don't. Really see the scale of games impressing me.
I probably have to like really break it down to like probably like pinpoint something, but
Witcher, the Witcher series, at least 3, was a game that really had a sense of scale to it as far as like believability. So like cities would be sprawling. You'd have to like walking across a city would take you a while. That's one game. That's just a fantastic game.
Yeah, I think Kingdom Come Deliverance is supposed to be. A dense kind of like maybe this is going towards what I'm talking about. It's supposed to be a big city, but it's limited in the totality of the world. So it's a really dense urban kind of setup, or maybe a couple. I don't know. I haven't played through, but the whole world isn't like this massive end-to-end thing that you can spend 10 hours moving from the north to the south of it or something. Which I don't think. Games need to just be massive for the sake of being massive.
No, if
you're just moving across the ground and not doing anything special, like that's not it.
I have a friend who's like that. He's like sick of like open world games and stuff like that. He's like, you know, like he pretty much has the same.
Which is unfortunately how you end up spending a bit of time in FF15. Is just like driving your car
to
the next place over this big map.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time driving.
Well, and that's the thing about Breath of the Wild. But you can shield surf. You got a paraglider.
The paraglider was really fun. Climbing. I did like the paraglider.
The shield surfing is a lot of fun too. There's horses. That's why
I don't think I ever got to shield surfing. I don't think I ever got to.
There's just a lot of fun sand seals, which is almost like wakeboarding. You shield surf and you catch a ride on a seal.
And not that it's really an RPG, but we've talked about it before. Just Cause 3. Just like it's fun. It's fun to like move through that world using those mechanics.
And that's a Square Enix game, so they have the ability, right, to put out an RPG. They can combine.
I just always think that one time where Murphy jumped off of that like 2-story building. And he's just like went from like 0 to like 80 miles an hour and just like drove right into the ground.
Probably a little better about it now, but like whenever you were in the older Just Cause games,
probably
like
Just Cause 2, man.
Yeah, maybe it was Just Cause 2 even. As soon as you're in the air, you've got, like, you know, all your air abilities, so...
You go into, like, skydiving mode, where it's, like, all this wind is, like, rushing past you, but he jumped off of, like, a 2-story building.
He jumped off, like, a garage, but then he, like, started air surfing, so he, like, got, like, so much speed, just because, like, it's that's like, your default speed when you're, like...
Wait, are you guys talking about the wingsuit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's just in 3, right?
Well, there was at least some freefall mechanic.
Yeah.
Too, okay. Where he, like, was...
Where you could, like... If you were high, he must have been, like, just high enough.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you were to, like, jump off something, you would, like, you know, like, sort of, like...
Go into free fall mode.
But it wasn't, like, a wingsuit, because he would just, like, do it and, like, his, like...
But this is what happened. He was on, like, the top of a 2-story building, and it had, like, there was, like, a courtyard, and there was, like, you know, some stuff in there. And he jumped from the top 2 stories, but he had enough speed to, like, do a lap
around. Yeah. But he just crashed into the ground.
Yeah, but, like, why were you going so fast? I don't know, where, in midair. Which is like a huge game breaking.
He wasn't
like
very physics. Good at that game. Every time I watched him play, he was just constantly fucking up.
I love when that happens in Grand Theft Auto too. Like you're moving so fast, like your car is going so fast, and you just stop and you fly through the windshield, or just ragdoll in some super weird way. Just so much acceleration out of nowhere. All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. Final Fantasy 15 coming
Final
up
Fantasy
for PC.
Games are just fantastic.
We like Final Fantasy.
I'd be curious to see the DLC.
I want to know where it takes place and what it's about. And maybe you're right. Maybe it does take place in that 10-year gap where everyone changes except Prompto. He grows like that shitty goatee in 10 years.
That's what I'm working on.
I was thinking of Austin Powers, you know, and Frau. You look so. Right.
That's pretty much how you react to
this. All right.
Anyway.
Open world RPGs, get your shit together. Peace.